Good afternoon, brethren. It's good to see all of you. I hope all of you had a very good and inspiring feast, and talking to several of you before services, it certainly seems like that was the case. I also want to thank you for all of your prayers on behalf of our daughter Melody, who broke her foot a couple months ago. I'm very happy to report to you that she went to the foot specialist at the end of this week, and everything is completely healed, completely fine, and they were quite concerned. So, from my heart and from my family's heart, I want to thank you very much for your prayers for Melody. An interesting study was done recently in which some stale brownies were served on a paper plate, and people were asked to report what they thought of these brownies and whether they thought they would recommend these brownies to their friends. The results were not surprising at all. The people reported that the brownie was stale, it was dry, it had poor taste. They wouldn't recommend it to their friends. They wouldn't even recommend it to anyone. In one word, these brownies were terrible. Next, they took these very same brownies. They put them on a fine china. They put a little white sugar on top, put some hot fudge over the top, and the people were asked to rate these brownies. Again, remember, these were the very same brownies that were served before. The results, they were excellent brownies. They had good taste. They would highly recommend them to others. In one word, they were fantastic. What changed? Not much. Different plate, little white sugar, little hot fudge. You know, what really changed was the people's perception, their attitude, largely probably based on a china plate or a paper plate. Well, brethren, our life is very much the same. Many times it's not the circumstances that we find ourselves in. It's our perception. It's our attitude. There are so many times that you can find people in similar circumstances, yet their outlook on life is completely different. One person will say, how's life? It's fun. Life's good. I'm growing. I'm learning. You know, you talk to the next person, well, life's kind of rough right now. Things just aren't going very well. Yet you would think that these people were living completely different lives, yet their lives are very similar. And, you know, it can be in good times, it can be in bad times. So how we perceive life, our attitude, is so absolutely important. In real estate, they say, location, location, location. Well, brethren, in our life, it's attitude, attitude, attitude. Paul had a lot to write about attitudes. If you'll turn with me to Ephesians 4 and verse 22 and see what Paul has to say. You know, and at this time of the year, many times I can talk to members and say, how are things going? And, you know, they'll come back from the feast and say, oh, it's so terrific. I learned so much at the feast. You know, I'm looking forward to implementing them in my life and growing and just moving towards God's kingdom. You know, and you talk to another member, well, how are things? Well, not so good. You know, the feast was good, but it went by so quickly. And, you know, it's another 6 months to the spring holidays. You know, I don't know. I guess I got the post-feast blues. You know, again, our attitude is so important. Paul writes in Ephesians 4, starting in verse 22, he's writing to many of the Gentiles, he goes, you were taught with regard to your form of way of life to put off your old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires. In verse 23, this is so important, to be made new in the attitude of your minds and to put on the new self created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. And what's so important in the verses following, in verses 25 through 32, Paul shows us how we can have this new attitude and new mind. In verse 25, he writes, therefore, each of you must put off falsehood and speak truthfully to his neighbor, for all are members of one body. Verse 26, we've heard this so many times. In your anger, do not sin. Do not let the sun go down while you are still angry, and do not give the devil the foothold. But do we do this? Or are there times where we're upset and are angry, and we go to bed and we sleep on it and wake up the next morning? I found it fascinating, sad in one way. I was talking to a member at the feast, and he told me that his parents, had divorced recently after 50 years of marriage. And I said, well, what happened? I mean, and he said, my dad was one of those people who went to bed angry. And he just did it too many times where my mom couldn't take it anymore. That was this person's downfall, that they went to bed angry. You know, Satan is looking, you know, again in verse 27, don't give the devil a foothold. Again, Satan works with our attitudes, and wherever he can, he wants us to become angry. He wants us to become upset. He would like us to become bitter, because if we can get in that framework, then he is able to broadcast his ways towards us and be more effective. Again, when we are closer to God, when we are tuned in, when we have a can-do attitude, Satan isn't very effective with that. But with bitterness and anger, he can work with that. Verse 29, Paul writes, do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. What a challenge for us, brethren. Can you imagine being able to do that? That in everything that you say, that it's positive, that it's helpful, that it's not gossip, that it's not downgrading, that it's not complaining. This is an awesome challenge for us to try to uphold. In verse 31, get rid of all bitterness, rage, and anger, brawling, and slander, along with every form of malice. And here's what Paul concludes the whole matter with in verse 32. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other just as you in Jesus Christ forgave you. That is so important. If we can have that attitude of being kind and compassionate to one another and forgiving, it will help each one of us so much. Paul gives us further instruction regarding our attitude and our minds in Romans 12, if you'll turn there. Again, with what Paul is writing to us, he's telling us that we have a choice. We can be kind, we can be compassionate, we can be encouraging to others, we can be positive. Or, on the flip side, we can be angry, we can be miserable, we can be full of bitterness. But Paul is saying, don't do that. Instead, choose life. Choose a life that God intended us to live. Romans 12, 1, I won't read that. That is a verse that we're very familiar with, in which Paul writes that we should become a living sacrifice. But in verse 2, he starts to tell us how to do that. He says, do not be conformed any longer to the pattern of this world. This world fashioned after Satan, a world that is full of negativity, full of bitterness, full of anger. But instead, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you'll be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. Again, God does not intend for us to be bitter. Again, does that mean that life is always good, that it doesn't have trials? Absolutely not. Our lives will always have trials at some time. But again, we can prove to God what we are made of, whether we are tuned in to him or not. Romans 12, verses 3 through 8 are a digression. I'm a teacher, so I'm very familiar with it, what a digression is. Again, Paul makes interesting points that we're many members, that we form one body, and that each of us have gifts. It's very, very important. But what's interesting is then after that digression, starting in verse 9, Paul shows us how we can transform and renew our minds. Verse 9 says, our love must be sincere. Hate what is evil. Cling to what is good. Verse 10, be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Honor one another above yourselves. Verse 11, never lacking in zeal. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. Share with God's people who are in need. Practice hospitality. Not easy things to do, but things that are very important in our daily walk with Jesus Christ. Verse 14, bless those who persecute you, bless and do not curse. Verse 15, rejoice with those who rejoice, mourn with those who mourn. Again, I'm not talking in life that we need to be happy, 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 and everything is good. And, you know, someone comes to you and you say, well, how are things going? Well, not too good. My mom died and I lost my job. Well, everything will be okay. You know, no, that's not proper at all. We need to show the proper emotions and mourn with those who are mourning. In verse 16, live in harmony with one another. If we could just do that, what a different life this would be. In verse 17, do not repay anyone evil for evil. Verse 19, do not take revenge. And in verse 20, on the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink. In doing this, you will heap burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Brethren, this is so hard to do. I mean, when somebody starts telling us that we're no good or what's wrong with us, I mean, so easy, our emotions get turned up and we want to tell them exactly the same thing. It's not an easy thing. But again, we need to have the attitude of Jesus Christ and to follow his example. Just this week, one of our parents at school called Victoria. She was very upset about something. And she didn't call her just once. She called her three times. And this woman was very upset. Every time Victoria apologized, this woman just wouldn't let things go. She hung up on her. You know, again, this is something that happens in the world all the time. But it was just so encouraging to see Victoria's example, not to get caught up in it, just to be a light and to just simply overlook it and to be nice. It was very refreshing. In conclusion, let's turn to Philippians 4, verses 11 through 13. It's Philippians 4, verses 11 through 13. Paul writes, not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned whatsoever state I am in. And I think if Paul lived today, this would include Washington State. Therewithin to be content. You know, so important. If we could learn to be content. There are some people that you can put them in the middle of paradise and they're still miserable. But others, you can put them in the worst circumstances and they're still doing well. To me, one person in this congregation that has shown that this, not being miserable in paradise, but going through trials and still being happy. Hank Bradley, for so many years, has had the difficulty of not having work or being underemployed. But recently, you know, he looked in my eye and said, you know, I am so thankful that I've had the last few years at home because I've been able to be with my children, to be with them in years that are crucial to their growing up. And that is such a gift to God. And I looked at that and said, that is such a great example, because it could have been so easy for Hank to say to God, you know, this isn't fair. I should have a job. He could have become bitter. But instead, he found the good and the opportunity. And I think that is so good. And that's an example that we need to follow. Paul finishes up here in verses 12 and 13. I know how to be abased and I know how to abound. In everything and all things, I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and suffer need. And we certainly know in Paul's life that through all the things that he went through, whether it was shipwreck or imprisonment, that he knows what it's like to face difficult things. But notice what he writes in verse 13, something that probably is familiar to most of us, but we need to be reminded daily. I can do all things, not most things, not some things. I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. Brethren, we need to have this can-do attitude, that we can do all things through Christ, whether it's overcoming a challenging sin that has plagued us for years or getting through an incredible trial. And I don't minimize this at all, because I know right now in this congregation there are people that are facing life-threatening health problems, people with loss of work, loss of home. The list goes on and on. There are immense trials that we face, but whatever those trials or difficulties are, we can do it. We can make it through with the help of Jesus Christ. We cannot do it on our own strength, but through the strength of Jesus Christ, we can. Brethren, we have a choice. We can be an old, stale brownie on a paper plate. We can be unhappy, bitter, and feel that life just isn't fair at all. Or we can be that delicious brownie served on a fine china with a little bit of white sugar over the top with some hot fudge drizzling down the side. Brethren, we have God's Holy Spirit, and that Holy Spirit is much like that fine china, that powdered sugar and hot fudge that can make all the difference if we incorporate it in our lives. Let's use that Spirit to be uplifting, to be encouraging examples to one another, that we overcome evil with good, that we're joyful, and that we live in harmony with others, that we're kind, compassionate, and forgiving of others, and that we're able to be content in all things, knowing that through Jesus Christ, we can truly do all things.